Hi, this is Chris Evans recording another Storage Unpacked podcast. I'm here with Martin. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Not bad, thanks. Pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. Autumn's here.
Yeah, absolutely. Recovered from last week.
Yeah.
Very interesting scenario, wasn't it? Being sat in the coffee era trying to record people. And we only had one person swearing, thank goodness.
Yeah, and we can guess who that was.
Absolutely. And that's I don't think actually we haven't published it yet, but it might be out by the time this comes live. We'll see.
You have to put parental advisory on a podcast.
I did wonder whether I might have to put one of those things on, you know, the E thing or the explicit content. But yeah. I'm hoping if I bleep it out, then that means we won't have it. That's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
So this week we have a guest, and we have Sabaya Sundaram from Haiku joining us. Hi, Sabaya.
Hi, Chris, and hi, Martin. Very nice to join you guys.
Would you just take a couple of seconds and introduce yourself to everybody who's on the line?
Sure, Chris. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Again, this is Sabaya Sundaram. I'm part of Haiku. I run products at Haiku. I've been here almost 2 years now, and before this, I have been in different storage companies. Some of you guys probably are familiar with EMC, NetApp, Veritas, CA, and so on. So I'm very excited to be here, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
So all the usual suspects then.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. So the topic of our conversation for today is to talk about backup on HCI platforms. And obviously you have a product that does that. We'll get to that eventually. But really we're going to talk about why HCI requires a slightly different way to do backup than you would do it traditionally. And I thought probably a good place to start, Sabaya, if you're okay with this, is just to really talk about how we've got to where we've got to with backup in terms of the whole virtualization movement changed backup and how HCI has changed that again. So why don't we start with that whole idea about how we did backup in a virtual world and how things changed from when we used to do it traditionally?
That's an excellent question. A lot of times people ask us, like, why are you guys doing a brand new backup software for HCI, right? Why can't you use the existing software? The way I tell customers is that if you look at it, well, let's go back to the history of backup software itself, right? Let's say a long time back, people used to use their classic Unix systems and people developed software for that. And then Windows came along. It's not that people couldn't port their Unix onto Windows, but there are Windows brought in a new set of capabilities. So customers said, guys, let's actually do something which leverages the capabilities of Windows and the uniqueness of Windows and the simplicity of Windows and build software for Windows. Then the way I look at it is, after that came on virtualization, like VMware came to the front and they have done a tremendous job of actually introducing virtualization to the entire data center. That time, Veeam was the first person to actually recognize the change in the paradigm what customers have had to go through, some of the unique challenges virtualization brought, and how to simplify it, right? In addition, when they started doing virtualization, there was a new person in the mix. There's a virtual admin. And that person actually required a different set of tools. And the question is that how do you cater to the needs of that particular administrator? And it also, they could simplify the whole life for the customer. That's what they did. That's the thing. Virtualization introduced a new concept. Veeam became the de facto standard. As you grow that trajectory, HCI came on and Nutanix introduced HCI and they are the pioneer in the space. The big difference I see is that HCI is a platform rather than just a server, a change in the operating system or server paradigm. And what this means is that there's an entire stack, right? And there are capabilities built into the platform. And when we built the software for HCI, the way we thought about it is, what's different here? The difference is that it has the compute. If we have a ready-to-go server, let's say if you want to create a new instance, you can create on the fly. It has built-in snapshots, built-in replication. A lot of the capabilities are built into the platform itself. And that's one of the reasons we believe this is different. And you can use your existing software on the HCI, not a problem. But the uniqueness in the platform, you can simplify the data center for the customer, simplify the life of the customer. That's why we believe HCI is different. And us new technologies required to take advantage of the new capabilities and make customers' life simple. I think that's the way we look at it. At the end of the day, our job is to simplify customers' complex IT infrastructure.
Okay, let's just wind back a little bit and think about how things changed. So Martin, I mean, you and I both historically been in backup for a long time, one way or another, at least data protection. And, you know, when I first started doing it, I looked at it, I'll rephrase that actually. When I started doing it in a distributed environment, the data went across the front end network usually, or maybe a dedicated backup network. And that was fine because every application had a separate server, so you could do that. But obviously virtualization changed that considerably, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it meant that your backup network, certainly because you'd try and run your backup data over a separate network, suddenly became saturated. So you had a lot more problems. Certainly if you're running multiple applications, that pipe was only so big.
Yeah. Now, incidentally, a little chime here for the mainframe, in the sense that going back to the mainframe days, which is where I first started doing backup, actually, we backed up directly from the disk. And we didn't actually back up through an application as such, because there wasn't one directly like that. So in some respects, the mainframe was a different model. But going forward, and Sabaya, you've just started sort of leading us into that HCI discussion. Clearly, as we moved into a virtual world, we were taking backups, and you said Veeam, from snapshots and from the hypervisor rather than taking it from the application. And with HCI, I guess we've got that ability to go even further with that, because HCI integrates the storage in with the compute. So therefore, there's a dedicated API right in the infrastructure that we can take the data from.
Yeah, I suppose one of the concerns I have, and we've talked about this a lot, about snapshots and backups in the past, certainly online and in blogs, is how do we get our backups off the platform so they're not actually on the same physical platform as the compute?
That's a great point you guys actually mentioned, right? I mean, like, there are a lot of people, when they have snapshots in their platform, they say they create a snapshot manager, or like a people like NetApp, when they had a snap manager. Those are great technologies which would actually help give you take the power of snapshots and bring it to the application. But the challenge, as all of you guys know, snapshots are not backups. And to have the true 3-2-1 philosophy, you need to make sure the data is off your production platform, right? And one of the things which we did, let's see, if you think about HCI, and pretty much all the HCI vendors actually have snapshots these days. And they have the basic snapshot management tool built into the platform itself. But the key thing is that how do you leverage the power of snapshot, but create a full-fledged backup software which will actually adhere to the core principles required for the customer? I think that's what is required in the new technology. So it should take advantage of what's already there, not recreate it, but deliver the full true data protection for the customer.
Okay, so you've set us up quite nicely in the sense that we have an opportunity to be able to do backups, potentially via snapshots or whatever change method we can get it from the HCI platform. The question is, how do we do it? And that's where your company comes in. So why don't we just take a moment, because the name Haiku might not mean anything to anybody. They may not have heard you in that sense. Why don't we just take a moment to set the scene about the company background and where the name Haiku came from, if that's what we want to do. But at least let's level set it for everybody who may not have heard of the company before. Why don't you give us a bit of background?
Sure. Thank you, Chris. Haiku, as a company, we have been in business for over 20 plus years. So most people, when I tell them, saying we've been 20 plus years, they said, really? I've never heard of you guys. Where were you so far? The main reason is that we as a company used to do predominantly product engineering. And when I say product engineering, we developed the core IP or significant parts of IP for 8 different backup products in the market today, right? So we worked on significant amount of backup technology. But the challenge was that we did in somebody else's brand or for somebody else's technology. So most people did not know of. We are completely behind the scene. About 7 years ago, our CEO decided, Simon Taylor, decided that we should move up the value chain and build our own branded software. And that's where we started with, as a company, maybe I should take a step back. As a company, we do only 2 things, monitoring and data protection. That's the fundamental thing we do. So we decided to do monitoring solutions for Citrix. We did that, and we were fairly successful. We had a significant number of Citrix customers. Citrix came on and told us they wanted to buy the technology from us because they wanted to make it part of the core platform. And they did that back in early 2016. So we decided we had the money to invest in a next generation solution. And we wanted to take advantage of our data protection expertise because we saw there was a need in the market. And we were looking at which platform do we really want to develop it for. And that's when we were looking at the entire landscape, and Nutanix stood out. This was before their IPO, before they went public, and before they became so big right now and so on. We looked at that was a game changer. They were trying to make a big difference in the market. So we said, we got to work with them. That's number one. Number two, we loved what Nutanix did in the sense that they entirely simplified the infrastructure as a service. We said there is a same thing we could do for data protection too. And that's one of the things we have actually set on to do. The reason some people ask us, why Haiku? As most people, at least in the United States, I'll tell you, are familiar with the Japanese poetry Haiku, it's because when they were in school, they had to write a Haiku for that. And as you guys know, the unique thing about Haiku is that it can be only 3 lines, and it can be only 17 syllables, but it has to have a deep meaning behind it. So one of the key things we did was, we said it matched our philosophy. Our philosophy was that we got to make data protection simple, but at the same time, intelligent, right? And that's why Haiku came in front and center to us. It's actually, there was a good reflection of what we were trying to accomplish. And we learned from Nutanix, and that's how we got. And Haiku also is a play in words of hyperconverged uptime. That's what we originally started with. But we made it Haiku because overall, as an industry, we are going after the classic cloud and multi-cloud and hybrid cloud and so on. So we wanted to make sure to leave it as Haiku, which reflected our true philosophy.
Okay. It could have been HYC something else, HYCB, but that was hyperconverged backup, but that doesn't really, or hyperconverged data protection, but that doesn't really have the same, doesn't roll off the tongue with the same eloquence, I guess, does it?
That's right, Chris. Yes.
I mean, it could stand for so many things. Very clever. You could have hybrid cumulus, so hybrid cloud.
It could do, couldn't it? Yes, it's an acronym. It could be used for all sorts of different things. However, what we do want to make sure is that we get Don to ensure that all your marketing materials is now all written in three lines, 17 syllables.
Yeah, so
all marketing messages.
So 575, Don.
Actually, it's kind of interesting you guys mentioned this. I'll tell you, it's a funny anecdote. The first time we were doing an alpha for the product, and we sent it to a bunch of SC systems engineers who were like actually eagerly waiting to try it out, and customers. The first thing the customer started sending as a note back was starting sent as haikus. Everybody started haiku questions in haiku form. So it's like, it is amazing. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think we could record a podcast in haikus. I think we'd spend too much thinking about it. We'd never get anything recorded.
I've written one. I've written one for him. He has. I have. My data flowing, disaster strikes like lightning, polarity reverses. That's 579.
Excellent. There we go.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
Very well done. Right. Okay. There's the challenge for every podcast going forward. A haiku at the beginning, Martin. You set yourself the, you set the bar high.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not writing haikus for everybody's marketing now.
Okay. Fair enough. So let's go back and let's dig down into the product a bit more, Sabaya, and talk about what it actually is and how you deploy it and I guess how you operate it. Because we're talking here about a piece of software. We're not talking about a hardware appliance or anything. We're talking about a bit of software you can deploy into a Nutanix environment, either AHV or VMware based.
That's absolutely true, Chris. So Haiku, as I said, our philosophy is to actually simplify the entire infrastructure and leverage what's already there, right? Because one of the fundamental things when we looked at a lot of technologies existing today, they're all great technologies. I mean, they were built with the right purpose when they were originally developed. The challenge is that there are new things coming up in the underlying infrastructure itself. The question is, but these technologies which were developed many years ago, they had to develop for the most lowest common denominator because they had to support the entire world. That's what they wanted to go after. Whereas we took a slightly different approach of saying our focus is Nutanix and the Nutanix-led data center, which we said the customers who are going after broadly deploying the infrastructure. That's what we started with. And that gave us a lot more luxury compared to our other friends in this industry, in the sense that we could assume certain things in the platform. And the good thing is Nutanix builds a lot of capability in the underlying infrastructure itself. So to start with the simple thing, right? I mean, how do you deploy Haiku? It's a simple virtual appliance that runs right on the Nutanix infrastructure. You don't have a separate deployment anywhere because you're already running in a full-fledged compute environment, infrastructure as a service. So we make it almost like a data protection as a service. Think of that way. It's a simple deployment right on the box. That's the first thing.
Okay, but you must be writing your data somewhere else because clearly you just said at the very beginning, we don't want to be compromising by putting the data on the same place as the actual...
That's absolutely right thing. So what we do is that to run the application. That's the first part. The second thing is, what is it to actually even configure? Let me actually go through one step before I get to the target itself. Second thing is, what is it to configure, right? The good thing is, again, we are talking infrastructure as a service. So all you need is a connection to the infrastructure service. Then we know everything about the infrastructure, right? So it also makes entire like configuration life so much simpler for the customer. So we connect to the infrastructure, which is in this case, Nutanix Prism, and we know everything about the environment. The customer doesn't have to do anything after that. That's just one credential, one app, one connection, and that's basically it. That's the first thing. The other thing which we do for customers, we especially tell customers, is that we want to make sure the data is protected, which is, we talked about the 3-to-1 philosophy. So to get the data out, we actually back up to any NAS, like it could be a NFS, a SMB target, or iSCSI target. You could do that. That's first level. A lot of customers, as we all know today, want to go to the cloud. So we do support the AWS or Azure. And we also support the hot and cold storage and all the different formats of the cloud, which customers want to keep. Because most of the time when you go to the cloud, you want to keep it for longer term. So that's one of the reasons we end up doing that, keeping the data on the cloud there. And we also support any S3 compliant storage for customers if that's what they want. Because a lot of, as soon as we started selling it to a lot of the service providers, they said, guys, we want to build our own S3 object storage. We said, absolutely, you can do that. And they said, we got to back it up to that. And we supported that. And so we can support any S3 compatible storage.
Okay, can I just ask you a quick question on that then? Service providers who are taking the Nutanix platform, is that what we're referring to there and running the Nutanix platform in-house? And therefore, they want to provide us a backup solution to their customers? Is that the scenario?
That's a great point. So there are two kinds of service providers we end up seeing, Chris. One is service providers who want, the customer actually has Nutanix on the customer's production data center, and they want to back up the data onto a service provider's backup target, right? So that's essentially, think of it as a managed service provider where the data is on the service provider side, just the backup is just as a backup target, right? That's one kind of thing. Then there are other kind of people who actually have, where they actually completely host and manage it for the customer itself. That's the other kind of service provider we actually do. So we support both. And I think the good thing is Haiku, right from the get-go, because we were building up on Nutanix, we knew that it will be sold into multi-tenant environments. And we had the luxury of starting in late. So because we started late, we built in multi-tenancy right from the get-go. So it's not an afterthought for us.
Okay. You were saying about object storage. I think that was where you got to.
That's right. Yeah. So as I said, we actually back up to object storage too there. One other thing which I wanted to mention about from a data protection perspective for customers, as you guys all know, important thing for the customer is that at the end of the day, they're trying to back up their applications, right? That's what they care about. The VMs are nice, but applications are the more important thing, right? The challenge which we saw for most backup software was that the customer because the way I always ask my customers, a lot of times when you first configure the infrastructure, they discover all the virtual machines. I ask them a simple question, do you know which applications are running on which VMs? Immediately, the administrator starts rattling off. He says, I think that VM 23, I think that's running Exchange. The VM 46, I think that's a database. They start thinking, right? That's the way they pretty much start with. Then that's why I tell them, saying when it's small, you probably can remember. As you get larger, it's very, very hard to remember where things are, right? That's a classic problem for customers. That's why we said when we're going to build it from scratch, why not automatically discover what's in the VMs? Because we are running in a virtual environment. We know exactly what's there. Why not discover what's in the virtual machine, essentially the application, and then tell the customer ahead of time to make their entire life simpler? So you don't have to do this guessing game for customers. So that's one of the things we have done, is that in Haiku, we have what we call automatic application discovery, in the sense that as soon as you give us a virtual machine, all we require is a basic credential, and then we will go discover what's running inside the app, inside the VM.
So are you talking about actually giving credentials to the VM or credentials to the platform there? Because clearly to get into discovering what the VM is, there's always been lots of different ways you could do that. You could look at network traffic, you could look at the data on the disk, you could examine it, you could log in and look and see what ports are active on the host or something like that, or look for even individual processes that are running within the VM. So are you saying you log into the VM, or are you looking at it from the actual data itself?
That's a great point. So today, what we do is that we log in into the VM and we look at a bunch of things to figure out what application is actually running. So we do log in. The way we end up telling customers is that when you want to take a consistent backup, you need to have a backup credential, right? You need to have a backup admin credential. As long as you give us the backup admin credential, we can tell you what application is running on that particular VM.
And is part of that related to the snapshot process of being able to make sure you take a clean backup, you know, quiescing the application? Is that sort of permission being granted for that reason as well, or is that not what that's being used for?
That's a good, what you said, did you hit the nail on the head? I mean, the key thing is that customers anyway have to give us a credential. If you want application consistent backup, you want to use the VSS or any RMAN or any level backup, you need to have some level of credentials in the infrastructure, right? Mm-hmm. To do a consistent. So anyway, customers have to give us that in credentials. As long as you give us the same credential, we automatically use the same thing to identify what applications are running inside it. And so to your point, yeah, it's not an extra thing you got to plan for. It is something you already have to do anyway to do application consistent backup. And that's what you provide us. The only thing is we make your life simpler because we tell you what's there rather than you having to go and discover later. And I think that makes it, some of the advantages I'll tell you for the customer is that because we discovered it, we don't have to ask you again, say, what do you want me to do for application consistency? Once I know it's Exchange, I know what to do for Exchange. So we'll do all the right thing. And a time of recovery, because we knew what we backed up and we do everything, we automatically will give you the right level of granularity, be it Exchange, SQL, or Oracle. So we automatically do the right thing for the customer. So that simplifies the entire process of setting it up and backing up and recovering and all that for the customer.
I've got a philosophical question here, which might seem to sort of challenge the whole premise of the idea of having HCI backup being different. But it seems that if you're using standard APIs that are exposed and available to everybody else, that potentially other vendors could do this. What is your relationship with Nutanix that allows you to offer something a step further than, say, somebody else could do? You know, I take it you work with them relatively closely, or have you with the development of the product?
That's a great question. So to your point, I mean, like everything we do with Nutanix is using their APIs, right? So to your point, people then say, what's special about you guys compared to other people? I think the way we think of is that all the other vendors try to make their solution generic enough so they can support a broad set of platforms. That's one thing, right? So when you think in terms of Nutanix, Nutanix supports multiple hypervisors. The first one we started supporting was their Acropolis hypervisor. We were the first one to have their latest API support for the Acropolis. But then the other one comes to their ESX, the Nutanix ESX, ESX running on Nutanix platform. In that case, pretty much all the other backup vendors, because they already had built in using the VADP integration, they didn't want to change it. So they don't leverage the power of the Nutanix snapshots there. They just say, let's use what's already available right now. Whereas us, who are solely focused on Nutanix, we were able to leverage all of the capabilities built in. That's one example I could tell you why.
Right. Okay. Sorry to interrupt you there, but I think you just highlighted a very important part that if you're running Nutanix on a VMware configuration, then other vendors could still just be using VADP within that VMware vSphere environment and not actually taking the data from the Nutanix node, which is running the storage. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for clarifying that. Absolutely. That's very true, Chris. Whereas we do the storage level snapshot, all the other people use the VADP, which makes sense for them because they already had it for 10 years and they want to continue the same thing here. But whereas for us, we want to do the best for the platform and we decided to do this thing.
I hadn't really thought about it in those terms before, but that seems like quite a subtle distinction. And I think, I don't know whether you know, Martin, whether there's any impact to that, but you know, you're going very platform specific and storage specific there. Almost like if you imagine in the old days where we would take a snapshot of a storage array and then back up that snapshot because it's a different route to getting to the data.
Yeah, but it's very tightly coupled. It's an interesting approach for backup because we're fairly used to backup products becoming looser and loosely coupled to the platform. It's interesting to actually go this tight, and I can see there's some advantages. There's some obvious disadvantages as well.
I get you right, and I guess you know it's a trade-off one or another. But at the end of the day, you're right. It's that scenario that says we're tightly coupling again, rather than being loosely coupled where we were previously. And if you know, and I could just be speculating, and Sabaya can correct me in a minute. But it seems to me that if you are in a distributed environment on something like Nutanix, where data is across many, many nodes, at some point the API could be clever enough to tell you how to back up the data and retrieve it from all of the nodes at the same time. So your throughput could be a lot better than it could be if it was all sitting in one centralized place and going through the hypervisor directly. So I guess there's potentially some optimizations you could do.
Actually, what you said is absolutely something which we end up doing today, Chris. And I think one of the benefits to your point, right, because we do a storage level snapshot, the way we end up doing is that when some backup has to happen, we put the application in a quiet mode, take a snapshot, and the application is done. So the application is completely, it looks like it doesn't even know the impact it happened. Just boom, snapshot happened and went away. After that, when it comes to backup, we don't even touch the production machine. We are agent or anything. We don't have any agents, actually. So what we do is we take the consistent copy. Good thing is, again, in Nutanix, you can immediately take the snapshot and mount it onto our controller. We mount it onto our controller and do the data movement from that. That's some of the power of being in the same. You don't have to worry about it, right? You're within the same cluster, and then, or even if it's a different cluster, it's not a problem. You mount it on it, you actually back up the data and let it go. And because of that, you can offload the data movement to a completely different VM on a different node. You can absolutely do that. That's one of the examples. The second example I probably will also point out, which we do to the point of the power of the cluster, I would say, is when it comes to, are you guys familiar with the Nutanix files or Nutanix Acropolis file service, the Nutanix file system?
Vaguely, yes, personally. Don't know about you, Martin.
Yeah, just very vaguely.
Got it. I can probably give you a quick rundown. So Nutanix, most people use it for their virtual machines and applications. That's what they started with. About last 2017, January, they introduced what's called Nutanix Acropolis File Service, or AFS. This is, think of it as their scale-out file system. Similar to how Nutanix scales for the virtual machine, this actually scales for the file system. You can actually, as you grow, as the customer grows, they can keep additioning additional nodes and expand the compute capacity or the storage capacity as required, and they can scale out the needs. And it's a very powerful thing because you can very modular, same modular scalability is something which has been added there. The challenge for the customers is that how do you backup? File system backups, as all of you guys know, are a pain in the neck. VM backups are sometimes cleaner compared to file system backup, right? Because in the file system backup, there are millions of files, and how do you make sure you backup all of them? In the first backup, you can't do much except copy everything. That's all you can do.
It's walking the tree, isn't it, and finding out the changes and so on. There's always a pain in the backside.
Yes, and that's where it comes down to saying we want to do something different, right? I mean, you asked me about our integration with Nutanix. This is where the close partnership makes a difference. Right when we started working with them in early 2017 in the file system team, we said, guys, there must be a better way to do it. Both of us wanted to do something different, the classic NDMP method for backup. As you guys know, NDMP was developed for like 20 plus years. It was great technology when it was developed, but again, it's dated. There are other things you could do better. And I think this is where close partnership helped, and we worked with Nutanix, and they have introduced what's called the change file tracking API, the CFT API. And because of right now, when you between backups, we don't have to do any file levels, we don't file scans or tree walkthrough. All you have to do is write to the cluster and ask us, tell us the file changed files, and boom, we can just copy just the change file. That's number one. The second big benefit, I would say, as you pointed out, Chris, is the scale out nature. Because of the scale out nature, let's say there are 5 nodes running and different nodes have different parts of the data. We can go to the right node, which has the right data because we get it from the API, and back it up in parallel. That's a big benefit for the customer, which is if you're building a generic file system backup, you don't get that. Whereas because we have tightly coupled ourselves with what's in the platform, that's why the customer gets the big benefit here.
How would a customer deploy this in their environment then in terms of operationally? You said it's a VM, would they just go in, download, run, license? Is it as simple as that?
It's as simple as that. We made it even simpler than that. So essentially, the reason what happens is that customers today, when they deploy Nutanix clusters, they have what's called a Prism Central, which is something they deploy along with Prism, along with Nutanix. When you go to Prism Central, they have what's called a marketplace. Think of this as like an iPhone app store. It's there. And in the marketplace, you'll see Haiku right up front. The customer does not even have to call us. They can go there right there, double click on it, and it'll ask you a bunch of your IP addresses and what do you want to do. And then it'll automatically deploy it for your cluster. You don't even have to call us. It's as simple. It'll automatically download, deploy, configure, ready to go. Full ready to a deployment of backup software there. And the entire thing probably takes 3 to 5 minutes the whole time. That's the level of integration simplicity we made it for the customer there. So it's fully deployable right from the marketplace for the customer. And it comes with the built-in trial. And for our licensing, you can add, if you want a permanent license, you can add it anytime.
What if I want to do something clever or something a bit cheeky? And if I've got two clusters, I mean, I'll explain the background to that question. So one of the things I think with Nutanix, unless it's changed recently, is you have to have dedicated clusters that are either vSphere or AHV. You can't have mixed clusters. Now, there is a scenario where you could look at it and say you might be all VMware day one and you might start to move to running AHV as a new cluster and want to migrate workloads there. But as you migrate them, what you want to make sure you can still do is restore to either cluster in case you have a problem, because obviously you might want to restore a backup from a few months ago into the new cluster. Can you do that with your software? Can you sort of go cross environment and still manage to do the restores okay?
That's an excellent point. I mean, to your point, Chris, the scenario you mentioned is something we run into every day. Because most of the customers, as you know, today run VMware, right? I mean, a lot of them have started in VMware. They've lived with VMware for a long time. They want to save money, and they're saying, okay, maybe one way is that they can save on the VTax, and they decided they want to actually bring in AHV. But they can't overdo everything overnight. So what happens, customers saying, guys, I have a couple of Nutanix ESX clusters. I'm bringing a new one. I want to get AHV, or I want to convert all the ESX to AHV. Or something happens all the time. So they want to coexist for a long time. And that's one of the reasons when we did it with Haiku, a single instance of Haiku can support both AHV and ESX together at the same time. Not a problem. And in addition, we also help customers gradually migrate their virtual machines from ESX to AHV. Because as you clearly said, customers cannot do it overnight, right? They have ESX running for a production and they want to move workload by workload from one to the other. That is something we help customers out of the box in the system. So you can have one and we automatically help you convert from ESX to AHV and bring it up in the other. And if you want to do the other way around too, it's fine, but it's definitely doable right from the get-go.
Martin, I know from my perspective, going between platforms, either migrating a host to a different backup scenario, or that this whole idea of, you know, you move the application between one place and another and then restoring it, that always used to be such a pain. And you ended up keeping legacy museum environments, whatever you want to call them, used to keep a lot of that stuff around simply to be able to do restores of stuff that might be needed from 6, 12, 18 months back.
Well, yeah, backup is forever. Your backup platform is forever. People don't change their backup programs very often, basically because it's so painful. And if you do, you end up with a bubble-wrapped archive or legacy environment because there's no other way of doing it most of the time.
Yeah, we used to call them museum environments and not the places we built them. I guess that was trying not to use the word legacy, but, you know, it was the same scenario. And the ridiculous thing was you would keep many, many generations and you think, let's see if we can merge them together or migrate. And I know there have since been tools come on the market to help you do that, but that actually turned out to be, I think, a big problem for a lot of people. Is once I've actually got that data there, can I at least have it transportable? So there's the next question, Sabaya. I take a backup, I'm writing it to an NFS or an object store. Can another instance of the software pick that data up and do something with it?
That's an interesting use case. And I think I'll tell you, this is something which happens all the time. Like what happens with customers off late, this goes back to, again, the power of the platform, right? See, when it comes down to with Nutanix, because in a cluster, creating a new instance, it's like a classic private cloud, right? You can actually create new instances on the fly and so on. Most of these customers, when they run their production applications, are now that with people trying to do this continuous dev test and so on, they want to make copies of near production copies for their development and test environment and so on. So we hear this all the time. So that's one of the reasons, right from our software, we made it easy for customers to not just backup, but also get you an application consistent copy for your test and dev environments. That is something we made it right from the UI, and it's all completely can be made self-service. So let's say, for example, if your DBA wants to have copies of the production data for his testing before he applies a patch, he can just right mouse click, or in this case, not right mouse click, click on the menu, and then say, get me a copy. And then they'll say, do you want the whole cluster, or the whole, sorry, whole database, or you can just a whole instance, or do you want partial database? So you can actually just do part of the database and then can bring it up and actually you can test it. And once you're done, you can actually then apply the patch on the production. That's the kind of thing which we have made it, right? As you said, different copies for different use cases you can actually do. The other thing is, I'll tell you, one of our customers, it's almost like they have a lot of test instances they wanted, and they make copies of the production for their testers and the developers. And this is, they do nightly refreshes and so on. So that's something absolutely can be done, fully application consistent copies.
What about licensing in terms of how people would buy this then? Because typically, if you're running a virtualized environment, per VM would seem like a great way of doing it, but it might be that licensing by volume of data might be good. So what are the options, Sabaya?
Great point. So what happens, Chris, here is that we wanted to make sure our entire philosophy is on simplicity. So what we did was we want to provide customers choice. You can actually license it by socket or by virtual machine. You have the choice of which one works best for you, right? Customer can optimize for what they like. And the other thing is, in the case of file system, again, you can buy it by sockets or you can actually buy it by the capacity.
I guess if I was, I don't know, running a branch office and I had some smaller Nutanix environments that were running, say, AHV locally, you know, a number of stores or something like that, I guess I could run it in that sort of scenario and have backup for each of those locations and backup centrally and then license per location, I guess, on a VM basis.
You're absolutely true. So we do support remote office, branch office, and we have lots of very excellent optimization where we completely can do a backup without VAN-free backup for remote offices. And you're right. People can mix and match licenses to make it most optimal for their infrastructure. Because again, we want to simplify that for customers.
So where can people find more? If they want to go off and understand a bit more about the product, I think you even mentioned there was a trial. I guess it's haiku.com, is it?
You can go to haiku.com, or if they want to try it out quickly themselves, they can go to tryhaiku.com. It's a simple thing. It'll just take, if they have half hour total, they should be able to download it, deploy it, test it, and then get a sense for what we do.
One last question before we let you go. What can we expect in the future? Because I guess this is a product that is continuing to develop quite quickly.
Great point. So the thing is that our philosophy is to align with Nutanix. Nutanix is, the way we always tell people, is that Nutanix is an innovation machine, and we want to align with their innovation. They're adding tremendous amount of capabilities, and you will see us being one of the forefront leaders in trying to align with Nutanix and trying to simplify the entire IT infrastructure for customers. So you'll see quite a few from us.
That's great. Sabaya, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. If people want to stalk you online, can they find you on Twitter or any other sort of social media out there?
Absolutely. I'm in both Twitter and I'm on LinkedIn. So please do send me a note. note by Sundaram again. Thank you very much, Chris and Martin, for giving me the opportunity.
That was excellent. Really good.
Okay. So for everybody who's listening, as usual, you can find us at storageimpact.com if you want more details. Obviously, we'll put links to some of the content we talked about today in the show notes, which you can find by downloading or going onto the website. You can catch us at Storage Impact on Twitter. And obviously, you can log onto LinkedIn and find us in the group there. So thanks for your time, Sabaya, and catch up soon.